Anyway, yeah, as I was saying, the Billy Joel tribute band, I got to give them proper props, called Captain Jack. Yeah, that's what they're called. And it's two guys, and they both sound like Billy Joel. And it's just, whoa, I was blown away. Two guys, one plays keyboard, that's the doctor, and the other guy has a voice of God, and they've got a backing track and everything. Yeah, they could probably use a guitar player, down the line. I'm just saying, I'd love to hear those guys with a full band and see the keyboard player totally mistreat the guys in the band like certain people who play Billy Joel music do. Like Billy Joel, right? Okay, anyway, it is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. So, if you're just joining us, I'll continue this a little bit longer. So, yeah, I'm a little bit full of P and V right now. One is vinegar, the other is somewhat excretory. Here's the deal. And I mean, this is not the topic. So, yeah, I've got an umbilical hernia. Thank you, planking. It all goes back to planking to develop abdominal muscles. That's when it started. So, long story short, just trying to get this thing taken care of. And I was trying desperately to get in touch, and I'm not going to name any names. Don't worry, I don't want you to name any names. But I had been trying to get in touch with the office, countless calls. But I mean, what is exactly the limit on how many calls you can make to somebody who is supposed to be scheduling surgeries on a given day? Is it two? Is it three? Is it four? And yeah, one day I called four times because I had some information that I was trying to ascertain so I could figure out my schedule. I don't think that's unreasonable. And again, if I'm such a horrible patient, why do like every single doctor that I have, why do they all give me their cell phone number? Why? Because I'm a horrible person? Because I'm a tough to get along with patient? I think not. And I could get letters of recommendations from like 15 doctors that I know who are in my cell phone. I didn't count them all, 15, 20, whatever. But what really frosts me big time, and am I the AH here, is why would you, and again, I'm only going by what I was told on the phone, why would you call my doctor who referred me and say, this surgeon doesn't do that kind of surgery when we had twice scheduled that surgery and we discussed exactly what the procedure would involve. If you don't do that kind of surgery, I'm sorry, why did we schedule it? And I can prove that. So you want your lawyer to call mine? Have some fun with that. I'll have a great time, believe me. 803, because mine's going to be free. 803-0930, star 930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN, the phone numbers. So anyway, I want to get back to something we started talking about last week, earlier this week. I don't remember these things. But your experiences, without naming names, with American healthcare. And the more I have experienced, the more open I am to socialized medicine. And I'm open to it because many Canadians who've called this show have said, why are you guys so dead set against something like OHIP? I have OHIP. I love my OHIP. And they'll tell stories about situations they've been in. And yeah, I spent a month in the hospital and it cost me $10. Like, wow, really? And I'll tell you something, the money they take out of your payroll taxes for OHIP can't be any worse than what we're paying in our health insurance premiums in the U.S. And if socialized medicine is that bad, then how come the Canadians who call into this show, by and large, are very much in favor of OHIP? And how come the people in the U.K., it is their single most popular social program that went into effect after the Second World War? If you went to the U.K. today, and again, if the U.K.'s healthcare is so bad, if you went to the U.K. today and said, hey guys, it was a noble experiment, but we're now doing away with socialized medicine, the public health service in the U.K., there would be riots in the street. So if it's that bad, why do people love it so much? That doesn't compute to me. And in this country, well, let's put it this way, under Obamacare, Has your health care cost gone down $3,500 per year per family? Because I know mine sure as hell hasn't. Mine has done nothing but go up and up and up and up, higher and higher deductibles and less coverage. And really, if I'm going to be paying that much, I want full coverage, baby, full coverage. But anyway, I think it's extremely unethical for one doctor's office to call another doctor's office and say, well, this patient called four times in one day, and we don't even do the kind of surgery that he wants when they scheduled the surgery on two occasions. That crosses an ethical line that really pisses me off. And again, you know, my one of my proofs here would be, if I'm such a bad, hard patient to deal with, then why do all my doctors give me their cell phone numbers? And I never abuse them, by the way. I mean, it's like, you got to be kidding me. So I'm the bad guy? I'm the AH here? I don't think so. Let's go to Christopher in DePew on WBEN. Christopher, you are on. Hello.
Hey, how's it going? I wanted to say two things. I spent a number of years in Ontario and in other parts of Canada as well. I'm a dual citizen. I reside in Western New York now. But I think that you're getting a little bit of a skewed answer when you talk to people from Ontario about OHIP, just by the virtue of it being Southern Ontario and what's called the Golden Horseshoe, but between Niagara Falls and Toronto, because other parts of Canada aren't being serviced the same way with socialized medicine than they would be, you know, in what would be, you know, our megalopolis in the United States, in Canada. But if you're between Quebec City and Toronto, your access to healthcare is pretty good compared to other parts of the country, which are totally underserviced in socialized medicine.
There's always the chance of getting skewed opinions, yeah, but I suppose the same could be said if I was doing a show in the middle of Nebraska or Kansas.
100%. I totally agree with that. And, like, so what ends up happening with OHIP and socialized health insurance just in general is that, like, obviously the services are going to be placed where they're needed most, but there's also, like, a national identity component to it. So it's like when you're talking to Canadians about OHIP and about the processes of, you know, the shortcomings or the benefits of socialized medicine, it's also going to get tied into the whole national identity thing. Because when I lived up there, for the longest time, if you would speak negatively against socialized medicine, or if you talk about the privatization of medication of healthcare, and I work in the healthcare industry, it always got mixed resistance because it's intricately tied to the national identity. And even in areas like Saskatchewan that are probably underserved for the most part in comparison to, you know, the Golden Horseshoe in Southern Ontario, they hold on to it dearly because that, you know, socialized medicine actually ended up starting in Saskatchewan. So it's also tied into the national identity. My experiences with socialized medicine in Canada are not negative, but they're also not incredibly positive. It's great for having a cold or needing to go into a clinic and even short hospital stays. But, you know, I know people that have had to wait, you know, long times on healthcare wait lists. I know that, you know, an ex-brother-in-law of mine was not able to find work in the healthcare industry, even in what would be considered a major center in Canada, a major city in Canada, just by virtue of them not having the same resources that we have here in the United States.
Are you happy with American healthcare? Are you happy with what you pay out of your paycheck? Are you happy with the coverage you receive with your health benefits? Because I must tell you, I am not, and I don't see how it could be any worse under socialized medicine. In fact, I think it would be better under socialized medicine because we don't have to worry about going bankrupt.
So let me give you an example. I work in emergency medicine, and I have pretty good healthcare by virtue of the agency that I work with, and so, I can't speak for everybody that works in emergency medicine. But in areas like Canada, I guess the trade-off is, like, you have paramedics that are trained at a higher level than they are typically than they are in the United States. It depends on the area that you are. But for the most part, across the board in Canada, paramedics are trained at a higher level than they are at the United States. Or they're stationing the highest level of care at most stations. However, you're dealing with a tenth of the paramedics on the street. You could say the same thing about doctors, you know, in Toronto SickKids Hospital, which is one of the premier hospitals in the world. I think a study just came out that it was the third best children's hospital in the world, after like CHOP and Philly, thing like that. However, the access to the resources in those hospitals are then limited to you have to fly into Toronto and get to them if you're in any area of Canada. And
see, with all respect, I don't see how that is any different. I mean, whether you're living on the suburbs of Regina or Moose Jaw in Saskatchewan, and you need specialized treatment, or whether you're living in the middle of Nebraska, you're going to have to travel to find a specialist who can deal with certain medical oddities that pop up. I mean,
I'd be willing to bet that there's probably just as many cancer specialists in Omaha than there are in Hamilton and Toronto, Ontario. I'd be willing to bet that those numbers are comparable, or even in Buffalo. And then you go a short stint over to the Cleveland Clinic or something like that. Now, you could talk about even more remote areas than that, but I'd even probably be willing to bet that in Billings, Montana, or something like that, there's centers that are there. And one of the things that people...
But
don't
I'm going to presume, forgive my interruption, I'm going to presume, yeah, though, that if you've got in Canada the equivalent of a place like Cleveland Clinic, at least you're going to be covered.
Absolutely, but if you're getting coverage there from somewhere that's 3 hours away, and I guess you could make the same argument from the United States, that your stays are not covered, your flight there is not covered, your transportation there is not covered. Even with emergency medicine in Canada, that's not covered. Your prescriptions aren't covered. Your cancer medication's not going to be covered. So there's also that factor that factors into it. I guess what I'm trying to say, and I'm certainly not trying to say that socialized medicine is the worst thing in the world, but there's a lot of shortcomings to it, and there's definitely a lot of shortcomings to privatized medicine as well. However, those shortcomings get highly diluted in the argument because people so intricately tie it to the national identity, when in reality, if you're getting an answer from somebody in Southern Ontario, you're not getting the whole story. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Well, I mean, you raise a point in particular about OHIP, and I'm not sure what it's like in the other provinces, but vision care, contact lenses, eye surgery, hearing issues, certain drugs that they give you outside of the hospital for cancer, they are not deemed medically necessary, which seems about as messed up as our system is. But on the other hand, depending on how expensive those medications are in Canada, and those surgery, I don't know, have you ever had eye surgery in Canada?
No, I haven't, but I can speak to this. Because you're talking about something that is actually a plus side for the single-payer system, I guess is how they refer to it, is right, that when you do want to get privatized insurance or private insurance in Canada, or when private insurance is offered through your employer, it's a lot less expensive to get that. So, for example, like vision coverage and dental coverage, it's not the same expense that it is in Canada. It may not be included, but it's not nearly as expensive.
But you can buy, what you're saying is you can buy supplemental coverage for those kinds of situations?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So I still return to Ontario all the time, and I've actually retained my Ontario supplemental insurance just for exactly that reason, just because I haven't been out of Canada long enough to lose my OHIP card. You can purchase private healthcare insurance, but also remember that, like, teachers, or I shouldn't say remember because a lot of people probably don't know this, but teachers, like, in Southern Ontario, they have OHIP, but then they also have, you know, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Ontario or whatever the equivalent is. And people rely on that coverage and depend on that coverage to get them above and beyond. The difference is instead of your premium being $250 a month, which probably would be considered good for a family, in the States, it might be $100 a month Canadian or something like that.
All right, sir, I must move on to some other people. I thank you kindly for your phone call, and I'd love to hear from other people with experiences with your Canadian health coverage. We're going to switch gears in a little bit, but not quite yet. Because, you know, if OHIP and Canadian socialized medicine is tied into the national identity, I'm trying to figure out why our current healthcare system, in what way is that tied into our national identity? Is it because we're that afraid of the word socialism? I'm sorry, what is social security? Isn't that a form of socialism? The government takes money, okay, and there's a set finite contribution level of income that you hopefully exceed every year. So by the end of the year, you can actually start pocketing what you would be putting into your Social Security. But I digress. Why are we so married in the United States to a system that clearly is messed up and it's just not working? I mean, look, if you're a government worker, the contract society makes with you is, yep, you're not going to be a billionaire, you're not going to be a multimillionaire, but you've got some really good benefits, including a pension, and they're such good benefits that there are widows and widowers of dead police officers who will not remarry because they do not wish to lose their health coverage because they know how good it is. And I've got no problem with that because that's the deal we made with these people and their families who undertake such dangerous missions, sometimes boring missions, on behalf of the people. But I don't know why we're so married to this idea of the American way of healthcare when it is messed up. I mean, my little story today was less about the healthcare system in general and more about just a tremendous feeling of being unjustly dealt with. And I don't know if anybody, I'm sure at some point in your life you've been lied about and people have said some things that you just know aren't true. And you know how aggravating it can be. And believe me, it's no less aggravating for me. Maybe a little bit more so because it's happened to me a lot more by virtue of being in the public eye, which is, believe me, it's a lot less fun than you might think. It's 3:27 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Bowerly, and we'll take more calls coming up. I'd still love to hear from people from Ontario. Are you happy with your health care? Because generally, when I talk to Canadians, they especially during the Obamacare argument, what I got from Canadians was, Tom, you are being brainwashed by the pharmaceutical industry and the healthcare industrial complex in America. Open up your eyes. You're being screwed. You're being taken advantage of. We here in Canada have it so much better than you. Well, is that still the case? Because everybody in the audience, well, almost everybody in the audience, is faced with ever-increasing premiums, ever-decreasing coverage, and, you know, then on top of that, see, I can't even say that scheduling procedures has been an issue because it hasn't been an issue until this latest fiasco, which, believe me, I really did not and do not appreciate. It's very unethical what happened, very unethical and very immoral. It is 3:28 at News Radio 930 WBEN. I thought that maybe Tanner was going to throw in some Captain Jack there from Billy Joel, but I guess not. You know, usually Tanner's right, you know, right on these things. I just make a fleeting reference to a band or an artist, and then, you know, there's the song right there. Like yesterday, when he did the organ solo from The Animals, House of the Rising Sun, I was so impressed with Tanner. Anyway, poor Tanner. Behind the glass, making the magic happen. Okay, so the great debate. We'll continue doing this till about 4, then I'm going to switch gears, but not by that much. Are you happy, without naming names, are you happy with your health care? Are you dissatisfied with your health care? And, you know, again, I'm sorry, but if let's put it this way. When you've had, I'm going to round it up, when you've had 30 surgical procedures in 6 years, I think that is a good base of facts upon which to make conclusions about the lack of service at a certain office when you've never had the same problem before at any other office, even including emergency situations. I mean, it's just I'm stunned at what happened today. But I'm expanding that debate because I don't think I'm the AH And if I did think I was the AH, I would absolutely own up to it. But I don't believe that I am in this case. And again, when a surgeon's people call your doctor and say, you know, he called our office four times in one day. Yeah, because you wouldn't return my calls. We don't even do the procedure he wants when the procedure I want was actually on the calendar at the office. That's almost, if it's not actionable, it's close to it. And I'm really upset about it. So those of you in Canada, I've talked to you guys before, and you've raved about your government health plan, your socialized medicine. And I don't know if it's part of your national identity. I don't know what part of our national identity our healthcare system is, because we might have some great physicians and great facilities, and we do. And as you know, if you've listened to this program, I'm a huge believer in making Buffalo the next Cleveland as far as the Cleveland Clinic organization. There's no reason Buffalo can't do the same. I mean, we have phenomenal doctors in Buffalo. I cannot tell you what phenomenal doctors we have. And believe me, I've dealt with a lot of specialists over the last 6 years, and I have been extremely happy with the results. I mean, let's put it this way. I won't name names, but when your retina totally detaches, like, and they're basically worried you're going to lose the eye, and you come back with 20/25 vision, that's a pretty good result, okay? So how can I not be happy with that? When you have the heart situation I had, and basically there's no damage to the heart whatsoever, and everything is functioning, like, phenomenally, how could I possibly be upset with that? So I think we've got some phenomenal doctors in Buffalo, and it's just it's kind of funny that it was easier to find somebody to reattach my retina on short notice than it is to schedule a stupid hernia operation that is a simple in and out ambulatory thing where they just inflate the stomach with air, they slide mesh in, they tuck your intestines back where they should be. 80% of the time it works the first time, 20% of the time you got to go back and have it redone. And I just don't know what the problem is. You know, hey, my email, by the way, tom@wben.com, and I want to have it done at ECMC, and I think I've got a way around that I'm going to manipulate. And that's, you know, you shouldn't have to come up with plan B, C, D, and E for something this simple. It shouldn't be like that. Here is, do you like the way I say intestines? Here's Bill in St. Catharines. I do that for the Canadians in the audience. Bill, you're on WBEN. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. As you wanted to hear about OHIP, it works if you're really, really in trouble. If you have any kind of a non-urgent condition, the wait is unacceptable. So you complain about your health system, but you know I've was in Orlando and had some trouble once, and you have capacity, got to the hospital, got treated. Now I was glad I had good insurance because it took care of it all. But we simply, you know, the OHIP system, it works, but we just don't have capacity for non-urgent problems. That's where it really falls apart.
But okay, isn't that, I'm not going to, but if you disagree with me, I'm not going to yell and scream at you, and I'm not going to call you an idiot and all that kind. I'm not going to call you an idiot and all that kind of stuff, so don't worry about disagreeing with me ever. I mean, maybe sometimes I've had a really bad day, but today's been a really bad day, so I should be yelling and screaming, but you guys make my day. But okay, what you are saying sounds an awful lot to me like what the medical community would call triage. We treat the critical situations, the emergent situations that are possibly life-threatening first, and the ones that can wait go on the back burner until we can fit you in. But on the positive side of the ledger, when you do go in, finally, and you get your knee replaced, or you have your hip replaced, or you have your hammer toe corrected, you know that you're not going to end up with $60,000 in medical bills.
You're right. No, I did. I did have eye surgery, like you were speaking earlier, and it was quite I had to go in twice, and never once did I pay anything. So that, you know, on the plus side, that's good.
So did you have the supplemental coverage then through work for those conditions?
Nope, that was straight OHIP. That's all.
But I've got information here that says OHIP doesn't cover eye surgeries, and perhaps it's not specific enough. May I ask what kind of eye surgery you had?
It was a specialist. I thought I had ocular myasthenia gravis, and they didn't. It was more of a muscle alignment on both sides of the eye. It wasn't a retina. It was they had to basically align my eyeball. It was pointing in towards my nose. So there's no general name for it, but it was general eye surgery.
Well, look at the bright side. You kind of look like President Grant's wife, Julia Dent Grant. You ever see pictures of her? They had to position her in a certain way. And I'm not making fun of you, because believe me,
no.
I'm as insecure as anybody else, and that would suck.
At the time, I had a lot of fun with it. People asked me what I used to do. I said I worked at General Motors and I aligned the headlights, and they thought it was hilarious.
Hey, misery makes sport to mock itself. Shakespeare had it right.
Yeah, indeed. So, I've experienced the U.S. medical system, I've had nothing but positive experiences. So,
Even with the bill at the end of the day, and even with trying, I mean, with the surgeries that you've had here in the United States, were they non-emergent cases where you were able to get in some reasonable amount of time?
It was heat stroke. I was golfing with a bunch of guys down in Orlando, and I had good insurance. And the bill, I couldn't believe it, after one night stay in the hospital, was $13,900. And it was difficult to deal with, because the hospital would start calling right away. You know, you owe us this money. I would call them harassing. And finally, my insurance company said, you know what, Bill, don't answer the calls. We'll deal with it. Don't worry about it. Just, that's fine. And they did. They paid the bills, and they took care of it, and I didn't hear from the hospitals again. So the system wasn't pretty from a financial side of things. And if you didn't have insurance, I don't know what you would do. I really don't. So is OHIP great? Not really. Is it? Does it work? It works to a degree. And I think the U.S., you know, if you could adopt something to cover, I mean, 40 million people in the U.S., I understand, have no kind of coverage whatsoever. What will they do? I mean, they're going to have heart attacks. They're going to have, you know, cuts. It's just I'm not sure.
All right, my friend, I thank you very much. You have yourself a good weekend, okay?
Pleasure's mine. Thanks, Tom. Cheers.
All right. I appreciate all your calls. Whether you agree or disagree, it doesn't really matter to me, because we're not gonna change the world. I'm just going to tell you that my views on socialized medicine I'm drifting slowly but surely into the camp of socialized medicine, because I'm not. I'm happy with the doctors. Well, maybe except for one. I'm happy with the doctors we have here in Western New York, okay? Very happy. And I think we have excellent health care here in Western New York, all right? There are some specialties which I think need to be beefed up. For example, I think we need more retina specialists in the area. I mean, fortunately, we have some excellent retina specialists. I found the best one I possibly could find, and the man is a miracle worker. I'd like to name him, but the minute I name him, that's when something will go wrong. So I won't. But he knows who he is, and so does his dad. Here is Deb in Niagara Falls, Canada, or USA?
USA.
Yes, ma'am. You're on WBEN.
Hi. I heard your situation and thought immediately of something that happened to me last spring. I had gone to a well-known and well-praised knee replacement specialist. And I went in December. He said I needed both knees replaced. He would only do one at a time, and that his scheduler would call me. It was March when she called me. And at that time, I talked to her, agreed to take the time off work to do a six-week recovery, and made the arrangements. I had an appointment to go in one morning. I went in, and nobody knew why I was there. Took the time off, and little background. I had gone 2 years without doing what I needed to do because my husband was sick with cancer. I was caring for him. So when I found out they didn't have me scheduled for surgery, they had canceled it because I had eye surgery scheduled. I had specifically told them my knees were way more important than having eye surgery, which was not at all as concerning as not being able or having to walk with all this pain. So I went in, and I'm sure I was upset when I talked to the girl. I'm not sure how angry I sounded. I know I was weeping. One of the doctors is the husband and wife that worked together. The wife came in and reprimanded me for yelling at her employees. I don't think I yelled. I'm not a yeller. Most people would say they'd never heard me yell.
That's what bothers me. I don't like being labeled a problem patient. If I was an a-hole on the phone, if I yelled, if I screamed, it'd be one thing. But I was very even-keeled because, quite frankly, if I want something from somebody, I'm going to get down on my knees and beg them for it. I'm not going to come in there like a... It's like I always tell you guys when you're dealing with customer service, the best approach is, I'm having a real problem, and I'm really hoping that you can help me with it instead of going on the attack. And I'm sure you're the same way.
Yeah, I know I was upset, but I was upset because of what was happening. And they said that my eye doctor's office told them that I was going through with the surgery. And I had just talked to the eye doctor's office to let them know I wasn't going to have the surgery.
My dear, I need to put you on hold if you want to. I need to put you on hold, Tanner, because I'm up against the clock here if you want to finish this. I'm going to finish up with Debbie, then I'm going to get into some other stuff that is going to be both, it's going to be interesting. It's also going to be... an object lesson for all of you because somebody I know was running last night and tripped over a broken sidewalk and basically looks like he just got out of a bruising NHL fight with Val James back in the 1970s. That's the guy the Sabres used to call up whenever they'd play the Boston Bruins. It was expected to be a physical game, so Val James would get the call, and the man, everything about him was muscle, and he's the product of Ocala, Florida, not exactly the hockey hotbed of North America. 357 at News... How many of you remember Val James? It's 357 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Bowerly on the radio on a Friday with you, and... the other topic I'm going to get into here is your ER visits, like going out for a run and face planting and ending up with nasty abrasions on your face and on your knees and, looking like you just got into a big scrape and didn't come out on the winning end. On News Radio 930 WBEN.